Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. Today I'm joined by Joe Spisak, Director of Strategy and Business Development in Machine Learning at Intel. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, Joe, I've wanted to have you on the program for a long time. Why don't you just start by describing what does it mean to be the Director of Strategy and Business Development for Machine Learning at Intel?
So my main focus is around working with cloud service providers and even more specifically their AI labs and machine learning teams. So groups like the Fairlab at Facebook and Baidu's research labs here in Sunnyvale, I do a lot of collaboration with them, POCs, as well as joint developments.
Now, machine learning has been a topic of much discussion in the industry, and it has a long history. Can you tell me a little bit about its history within the industry?
To level set, machine learning is essentially algorithms that learn from data. You know, machine learning algorithms have been around since even the 50s and 60s. So even some of the algorithms used today for some of the latest leading edge applications actually have their roots from decades old thinking and development. But today, really, some of the things that have driven it forward are just availability of scale compute, bigger data, and especially labeled data or annotated data that's become pervasive, like things like ImageNet or the Microsoft COCO Creative Commons database of content that's labeled, as well as some of the algorithmic innovation that's happened, especially in the last few years, kind of taking these older concepts and bringing them into the here and now, distributing them over multiple nodes, making them much, much faster with some of the more advanced ways to perform convolutions, as an example, like FFT-based or Winograd-based convolutions. And, of course, the applications themselves have brought a lot of this to the light as well.
When you look at machine learning from an Intel perspective, what is our role here, and how are we investing to deliver the technology required to push machine learning forward?
From an Intel perspective, we're investing in really a full stack. So all the way from the bare metal hardware, whether it's compute, networking, storage, memory, we have pieces in all those categories that we're positioning and that we're optimizing for machine learning and especially deep learning. So if you look at our Xeon and Xeon Phi, you know, Xeon is one of the more pervasive platforms in the cloud, to say the least. Most cloud infrastructure providers are based on a Xeon E5 architecture. Xeon Phi, now that it's launched, codenamed Knights Landing, brings a high level of compute, of course, our 3D cross-point memory and so on. And we're also bringing it together with scalable system framework. So that's kind of like the base stack. And then if you look at, you know, the software and pieces above that, we're also investing heavily there with our math kernel library. It's been free since last year. It's made a lot of people happy in the industry. And we're also looking at ways to increase our open source presence in some of the key frameworks. At Berkeley, the CAFE project, at Microsoft, the Computational Network Toolkit, or CNTK, TensorFlow at Google, et cetera. A lot of this came out of academia and research, and it's really been amazing how it's kind of changed the complexion of this industry.
When I listen to machine learning conversations, sometimes I hear words like scoring and training and deep learning. Can you break down some of the characteristics of what comprises machine learning and different types of computing that are being done?
Yeah, with any algorithm, it doesn't matter if it's deep learning or traditional or classical machine learning, there's always a training or a statistical estimation that happens to create weights based on data. So you're essentially feeding data into some type of algorithm. It could be a k-means clustering algorithm where I'm trying to find clusters within data. It could be a random forest or a decision tree. It could be an artificial neural network or a convolutional neural network or some type of deep net. And when I'm training this, basically I'm feeding data, whether I'm hand engineering the features or not. Putting that aside, I will then create something that represents the input data as closely as possible. Basically, at a very high level, I'm curve fitting to input data. And then I want that not to overfit to that data in order to generalize over new data. And that's where the inference or scoring happens. Because the input data sets are so large, because especially with deep learning and deep nets, the layers are such compute intensive operations, a lot of dense gem operations, matrix multiplications, convolutions, floating point operations, and specifically how high your flop count is, matters immensely there. And but further to that, even the data sets are also so large. So, you know, looking at our Xeon Phi platform, the fact that we can support something like 400 gigabytes of memory is actually very important considering the data sets we're talking about and just overall requirements for this workload.
Can you give some examples of when folks interact with machine learning on a day-to-day basis today but may not realize it?
Yeah, a large component of the compute out there actually is based on Intel, and a lot of it, you know, you don't see it, but for example, when you're shopping on Amazon, that is machine learning. So all those recommendations that Amazon is serving you, all the recommendations that Netflix is providing to you for your entertainment options, the fact that Facebook is tagging your images and detecting your face, that is computer vision, that is deep learning based, and using a convolutional neural network, all the speech recognition, the fact that you're speaking with your vehicle or you're speaking with your phone, or scoring of, you know, help desk calls, as an example, that is using typically something called a recurrent neural network or an LSTM, a long short-term memory architecture in deep learning. You don't see that as a consumer. It's hidden underneath, but, you know, as you interact, it's just buried within the stack. But the user experience is really driven by machine learning.
So, Joe, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Can you tell me where folks can find out more about what Intel is doing in the space and keep following the conversation?
You know, we have lots of resources on our website. Data Analytics Acceleration Library is available. It's open source. We have the Trusted Analytics platform that's available, and that's also open source. We're going to be talking about it at ICML here. We have a lunch and learn session day one. Pradeep Dubey will be there. He's our Intel fellow from our Parallel Computing Lab. I will be there. I'll be emceeing the event. We're going to be talking about our hardware investments, what we're doing in software and our open source investments in the academic community. We are also going to be at the Facebook Machine Learning Systems Workshop on that Friday, the end of the week, at ICML, the International Conference for Machine Learning as well. We have a talk by one of our architects at an event that's being hosted by Yanqing Jia, the original developer for CAFE, as well as Hussein Mahana, who is the director of core machine learning at Facebook. We're going to be talking about, you know, how do you innovate with software and corralling all the accelerators out there, how to extract the maximum performance out of some of these open source projects, and really what Intel is doing in the open source space to get this going.
Thank you so much for being on the program today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.